Blog Talk Radio.
Today, I want to talk to you about overflowing abundance for you. And this subject is based on one of my very recent success ideas that really turned me on. I never offer you a success idea unless, first of all, it turns me on. That's why I make the extravagant claim you can't lose with the stuff I use, because I've tried my stuff first to be sure that it works. And this success idea I call the oil well, and I'll tell you how that came about. There's a wonderful family in my church in New York, a man and his wife and two teenage boys. They're wonderful workers in the church. And this gentleman is the gentleman who introduced me to the lady that I codenamed Miss Moneybags. This gentleman works in the church every week, writes to me, his wife writes, his sons write. And I find it very interesting that in this ministry, we have many people who attend these classes and these services every week, and yet they write to me every week. I'm looking at some of them right now. I had a reporter ask once, "Well, Reverend Ike, if you already know what people need, why is it you ask them to write you and tell you?" It's because of what it does for you. You see, when you concentrate your thinking to the point so that you write it down, something wonderful happens for you. It means that you bring your mind to bear on a positive point long enough so that you send out the vibrations to make it happen. But anyway, the other day when I was in New York, this gentleman that I was telling you about came to me and whispered in my ear, and he said, "Reverend Ike, my oil well just came in." And by the way, even though I can't tell you who Miss Moneybags is, she was in oil. And when he said that, I just silently shouted, "Wow! That's wonderful." Not only did he say, "Reverend Ike, my oil well just came in," he said, "Reverend Ike, my oil well just came in, and I'm sending you the first check." You know, it was all I could do to really restrain myself. because money is one of the things that excites me. Some of you won't admit that, but those of you who will, say with me, money excites me. You don't sound like it. Stand up and shout it and sit right back down. I'm going to show you how to say it. Not, you don't know how to say it. You see, this is another thing, you know. Whatever you want, it has to excite you. Whatever you want, get excited about it. That's one of the techniques. Write it down. Whatever you desire, get excited about it. So when he told me, Reverend Ike, my oil well just came in, and I'm sending you the first check, I got excited. But you see, as long as you go around saying, well, I can't keep no money, I can't hold no money. See, there's no excitement in that. This is the way you say it, and then I'm going to have you say it again. Money excites me. Come on, stand up and say it. All right. Now, I've given you enough to use already. I want to repeat it again, and I'm purposely redundant. Whatever you want, get excited about it. You want more money in your life? Get excited about it. There's some good project that you're trying to accomplish, something that you want to be, to do, and to have. Get excited about it. Excitement is magnetic. Excitement will draw you to the thing that you want and will draw the thing to you that you're excited about. And you know, you're not going to really get anything out of life. You're not going to experience the joy of living until you get excited. By the way, I talk about at least 10 subjects at one time. I never let my formal subject interfere with what I have to say. I think that's pretty good that I'm on to now. Am I excited about life? Am I excited about what I want to be? Am I excited about what I want to do? Am I excited about what I want to have? You see, because when you get excited about it, you feel it. And that feeling will bring it to you and you to it. Now, you ask yourself those questions and cross-examine yourself, interrogate yourself on those questions. I mean, life is something that you ought to be excited about. You shouldn't just drag through life like a scroungy dog with his tail between his legs, you know, just hoping you'll get by. You should be excited. Well, anyway, I got excited when the gentleman said, my oil well just came in, Reverend Ike, and I'm sending you the first check. And you see, I knew when he said that he meant it, because he sends me checks all the time. So that's part of what keeps me so excited, all this money that people give to me. Now, what does this say to me, and what should this say to you? And please listen. You know, when you really learn the secret of prosperity, when you learn how to think right and how to give right, I don't care where you're from, what your background is, what your circumstances are, you're going to prosper. And I am never so amazed as when I get mail from Africa, from some of the poorest places in the world, where people have applied these principles of right thinking and right giving, and they're prospering. And the more they give, the more they're able to give. Well, anyway, and I'm sure my excitement about money rubs off on them, no matter where they are. That's why I tell you this whole thing is just consciousness, you know. And it's not bound by geographic distances. So if you want money, get excited about it. If you want love, get excited about it. You want some more romance in your life? Whenever you see couples walking down the street holding hands, well, you get excited about that. Well, anyway, this gentleman told me that his oil well had just come in and he was sending me the first check. And as I always do whenever a demonstration is made, I look for the principle behind that demonstration. I look for more than just the instance involved. And so I ask myself the question now, what does oil well really mean? I said, it's very wonderful that they found a hole in the ground gushing oil out of it, and it's going to make him richer and richer. But what does oil well really mean? There's a meaning to this. There's a broader meaning. There's a greater meaning. And there is a way that I and everyone in this ministry can share in the blessing of this oil well, which this man is experiencing. How can we do it? And the notes in this success idea came to me as an answer to the questions that I asked. What is the oil well? What does it mean? And where is your oil well? where is my oil well? It isn't enough for just one man to have it. It isn't enough for the Rockefellers to have an oil well, or for J. Paul Getty to have oil wells. You see, too many times we look upon other people who have great wealth and great blessings, and we say, oh, that's wonderful, that's for them. You'd be surprised how many people count themselves out of the goodness of life by saying, oh, well, that's for them, that's for him, that's for her. You'd be surprised how many people will see Reverend Ike riding in Rolls Royces and say, oh, well, that's for him. And God knows they are. And that's how I got them, by saying to myself, that's for me. And this is another very simple technique that you may write down and use. Whenever you see some good that you like, whenever you see people enjoying some good that you like and that you desire, you say, that's for me. Come on, say it out loudly with me, everybody. That's for me. I remember way back in 1952 when I first went to New York City as a poor, sub-poverty case. See, many people don't know that. I was a sub-poverty case. It tickled me so much in Chicago last summer. Some black revolutionaries, they weren't black militants, they were black revolutionaries, came to me and said, Reverend Ike, we would just like to take you on a tour of the poor section of Chicago and let you see how the poor people in the ghetto live. I just looked them right in their face and said, when the hell do you think I came through? You don't need to take me any damn way to show me how poor people live. Because I can tell you what it's all about. Because I've been there, and I'm glad I'm out. Yeah. But when I first came to New York as a sub-poverty case, working my way through school, had some poverty experiences that I've never told yet. I think I will at some point, but I've never told yet. And I'd walk down Central Park South and pass the windows of the Grand Edwardian Room at the Plaza Hotel, in the windows of the casino in the park. And I would look in and I would see the people sitting there under those crystal chandeliers, eating and drinking by candlelight. And instead of me standing there cursing those people, saying, look at those old rich SOBs. I like some of these black folks, look at those old rich white SOBs. I passed by and blessed them and licked my chops and said, that's for me. Because you remember what Reverend Ike always tells us, if you curse the rich, you'll never be one of them. So you have to learn to identify with the good that you desire. You walk down Wilshire Boulevard here and you pass the Cadillac place or the Lincoln place or the Rolls Royce place or the Jaguar place. Anytime you see whatever you like, what do you say? That's for me. Whenever you see other people enjoying good, don't just think in your mind, well, that's for them. But what? That's for me. Go down to the travel bureaus and get yourself some of those brochures. The ships you'd like to sail on. The tours you'd like to take. Put them up on your wall and say, that's for me. Because it's not only true, what you see is what you get, but what you say is what you get. Come on, say that with me. What you say is what you get. So I decided that this business of the oil well was not just for this wonderful man who had an oil well to gush for him, but I decided that the concept of the oil well, the consciousness of the oil well, was something that I could enjoy, something that I could pass on to you to make you richer in every way. And so I want to share it with you now. The text which I use for this success idea is from the 23rd Psalm in the 5th verse. These four words, and I want you to shout these four words with me. Come on. My cup runs over. God, what a prayer. God, what a complaint. And I'd say that everyone should get to the point that this is his only complaint. My cup runs over. Isn't that a complaint? How many of you would like to have nothing but that for a complaint? You know, and I dare say to you that it is the destiny of every man to get to the point so that this is your only complaint. I can't get all this money into my pockets. Oh, I'm glad somebody's turned on and tuned in here. No, I tell you, if you get excited about something, you'll draw it. I'm also very soon doing a sermon called The Power of Fascination. This is another aspect of it, you see. Whatever you're fascinated with, you draw it to you. This is saying the same thing in many different ways. Fascination has power. And if you're fascinated with poverty, that's why the poor stay poor, because they're fascinated with it. They're excited about their poverty. They love to jump up in the street and march and hold signs and talk about, we poor people. You know what Jesus said? The poor you have always with you. What does it mean? People who think poor will always be poor. No, so you be careful what you're fascinated with. Be careful what you're excited with. And you find people who have chronic illnesses, you know, from one decade to the next, they're fascinated by it. And some people just relish telling you their symptoms. Let's get back to the oil well. It is the destiny of every man to have nothing but the complaint, my cup runs over. I transliterated this verse in this way. My life overflows with every kind of good. Come on, say that with me. My life overflows with every kind of good. And remember, what you say is what you get. People have no idea as to the power of their word. If people had any idea as to the power of their word, they'd be very careful what they say. On the conscious mind level, I'm still learning. Before I went to New York last month, I talked about how cold it was in New York. And oh, did I talk about how cold it was in New York. I got to New York, I got a sore throat that I couldn't get rid of. Took 6 shots of penicillin, I don't know how many pills, 2 doctors. Still couldn't get rid of that sore throat. Then it came back to me, said, you know what you tell those people? In the first place, I didn't have to go. But if you were going, you had no right to put a bad mouth on New York. See, that's another thing. You know, if there's somewhere you've got to go or something you're going to do, you know, don't be saying negative things. So finally, you know, I had 3 sermons to preach and all of this. What I did, I says, well, there's no physical cause for this. And I realized that there was no physical cause whatsoever, because all the material remedies and physical remedies I tried, it didn't do one damn bit of good. So I just got out of bed and I said, God in me is my help. And I put on my running clothes and my running shoes and ran a mile. Then I went downstairs and got in my little gold and brown Rolls Royce and drove on off to my office and worked for 4 days and preached all of my sermons. I said, no, next time before I go to New York, you know, I won't be talking about how cold it is. You got to watch your words. Your words in very subtle ways will come back on you. This is why someone has said, you know, make your words sweet in case you have to eat them. And it's good every day to ask yourself the question, you know, what am I talking up? Come on, say that with me. What am I talking up? You see, and you're always talking up something. It's good for you to know, what are you talking up? If there's something that you're going to do, you say, oh, I hate to do such and such. Oh, how I hate to do such. Oh, I hate to go such and such a place. You are putting a stumbling block in your way. As the scripture says, thou art ensnared by the words of your mouth. What am I talking up? Shout it together. What am I talking up? My life overflows with every kind of good. When you say that, you're talking up what? Every kind of good. I want you to stand up and shout those words and sit back down. Come on. Come on, together. My life overflows with every kind of good. You may be seated. Now that's the way you talk. You talk that up. And as I say again, never talk about how you hate to do this, how you hate to do that. If it's something that you feel that you really need to do, don't talk about how you hate to do it, because you make it harder. What is the oil well in a broader sense? I've defined the oil well as the overflowing source of all good, an overflowing source of health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity, an overflowing supply. On the level of finance, I've defined the oil well to be an overflowing money supply. And of course, it's easy to see the connection there, because ever since oil came into such widespread use in this mechanical and industrial age, you know, whenever a person has struck oil, why, you know, he's rich, and, you know, money just comes. Now, it's not just this gentleman in question that has an oil well, but each one of us has an oil well. I have an oil well. I'm going to tell you what it is and where it is in 10 seconds. It's written down here. But I want you to affirm and to shout with me right now, I have an oil well. Say it again. Say it for the third time. See, it isn't enough for this gentleman that we were talking about to have an oil well. See, that's for me, too. What is this oil well? Where is it? I define the oil well as the infinite presence and power of God in you. And you strike oil when you recognize and draw upon the unlimited riches of God in you. I'm going to have the young lady who writes for me to come up here and write something on the board from the oil well prayer, the oil well affirmation. The words are these: God in me is my overflowing source and supply of all good. God in me is my overflowing source and supply of all good. This is your oil well now. Write it down. It's written down in many different ways in this success idea, but I want you to write it in your handwriting. I want you to write it on a piece of paper. God in me is my overflowing source and supply of all good. I'm going to add a word to that when you finish that. I'm just going to have you turn it around. Turn the board around and add one more word. I like playing with words, and it's important. That's right. All right, just wheel that board around there. And you're going to add one word. God in me is my unlimited, overflowing source and supply of all good. You on your paper, just add unlimited. I'm going to have you write the whole thing out again. God in me is my unlimited, comma, overflowing source and supply of all good. This is one little thing that, if we can get people to see it, will solve their problems of supply. People need to know what their source is and where their source is. A material oil well is not really your source. It may be a means of supply. Your job is not your source. It may be a means of supply, but it's not your source. The source is within you. The source is God in you. Some of you have written it down on paper. Some of you may have written it in your hearts. Now let's say this together. Come on. God in me is my unlimited, overflowing source and supply of all good. So that means, for example, that if you lose your job, you don't lose your source. As a matter of fact, many times when you seem to lose on the material level, it's only an opportunity for you to have a greater experience. Like me, when I got put out of the church, best damn thing ever happened to me. I had fulfilled my time in the church. And you see, many of you, the reason you're having a rough time in certain situations in your life is because you fulfilled your time in that particular context and you don't want to move on. And you're going to catch hell in any context that you fulfilled yourself in and won't move on from. Don't care if you did marry him. Please know your source, what it is and where it is. Your source is nothing out here. It's not the stock market. But where is my source? Within me. It's the God in me. The source may be described in many different ways. You can describe the source as the power of your imagination. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Because as much as you can see yourself having, you'll have. As much as you can feel yourself having, you will have. And this is your source. And even the Bible tells us that the things which do appear were not made from the things which do appear. Sounds like a lot of gobbledygook. You have to really listen to that. The things which do appear are not made of things which do appear. Such gobbledygook. But let me give you an example of that. The airplanes that fly through the air now, so fast, so beautifully. Where did those airplanes exist first? In the mind. Is that right? You see, people call mind nothing when they don't understand the power and the allness of mind. This beautiful building, this comfortable building that we're sitting in, first of all existed where? In somebody's mind. Everything begins as an idea. This is why I call these monthly publications Success Ideas, and try to get these success ideas into the hands and minds of people. Because all of the material things in your life are manufactured out of the ideas in your mind. If you have a nothing idea, you'll have nothing in your life. If you have a poverty idea in your mind, you'll have poverty in your life. If you get a success idea in your mind, you'll have success in your life. And this is the God in me that tells me that I can be, I can do, I can have. And this is my source, and it's an unlimited source. It's an overflowing source. You know, in all of my reading in the Bible, I never yet found that stingy God that they used to teach me about in the church. And this fellow was stingy. I'm talking about that God, you know, that they had in the church. He was so stingy, he was worse than Scrooge. And they taught us, first of all, when you prayed, to ask him, "Now, Lord, if it be your will, help me." And, you know, he had to be begged. And sometimes you had to pray and fast for days and days and days to try to get him to make up his mind to bless you. But yet, when we look in the Bible, we find a God of abundance. We find a generous God. My cup runs over. When Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, there wasn't just a pinch for everybody, but after everybody had stopped themselves, the Bible says that there were 13 baskets full left over. God in me is generous. Say that with me. God in me is generous. God is just as generous with you as you are with yourself. Why? Because you are the one who measures out the blessings of God in your life. Now, I'll put that in the first person, and it'll shock some of you. I am the one who measures out the blessings of God in my life. I am the one who measures out the goodness of God in my life. There's no God in the sky that's going to decide how many cars I'm going to have. You see, and these silly people are praying, asking God, "If you sure will, Lord, you know, give me this, that, and the other." There's no God in the sky also that's going to say to you, "Go thou and buy a Cadillac." I read that in one of the transcripts the other night. I thought it was cute. You know, people ask, "Lord, show me your will. Is it your will for me to have a Cadillac or a Lincoln?" There's no God in the sky that's going to decide that for you. There's no God in the sky that's going to decide how many houses you're going to have, or how many cars you're going to have, or what kind of clothes you're going to have. The infinite has given it to you on the level of the individual to decide that. The goodness of God in your life is measured out by you, by your own faith. This is what Jesus meant when he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your acceptance. How much can you accept? That's how much the infinite will give you. How much can you see yourself with? That's what the infinite will give you. How much can you feel yourself with? That's what the infinite will give you. How much can you be trusted with? That's what the infinite will give you. Now write this question down to interrogate yourself with. How much good can I be trusted with? Oh, let's put it more theologically. How much can God trust me with? Oh, let's even put it this way. How much money can God trust me with? What do you mean, Reverend Ike? How much can I be trusted with? Oh, you know what I mean. How much can you have and still do right? How much can you have and still act right? How much can you stand to have and behave yourself? If you had more, would you drink too much? Would you eat too much? Would you hurt yourself with it? Would you hurt others with it? Write all this down, you see, because, you know, some of you are wanting things and you're not ready for them. And, you know, this is another way of putting it. We always get what we're ready for. You're not going to get any more than what you're ready for. And anything you don't have it because you're not ready for it. And I've had people to dispute me. Oh, yes, Reverend Ike, I'm ready for it. I said, then why don't you have it? This is why we also call these sessions mind conditioning classes. So that you condition yourself for a greater measure of spiritual, material, and financial good. Some people wouldn't know what in the hell to do with $1 million. Some people would go stark raving mad. Some people, if it dropped into their hands, they couldn't hold it. And you hear about it every day. Somebody unexpectedly inherits something. Somebody comes along and gets it from them in a hurry. I did a sermon once, and I remember the summation of it was this. Everything that you're ready for is ready for you. I want to be tedious with this point. There is no one else, somewhere else, to measure out the goodness of God to you in your life. You're the only person who measures out the goodness in your life. As a matter of fact, you're the only one who measures out the badness, too. Because all the hell you catch, you draw it. I know that's rough. People say, I'm catching hell. And you're right, too. You're catching it. Put your mitt down, damn it, if you don't want to catch it. You know, why keep catching it? Now, I'm sure, and I can feel it, there are a lot of you here who your minds are blown. I'm the one who measures out the goodness of God in my life. Yes. You see, all along you thought it was somebody up there measuring it out to you. Some people's God was just like somebody that throws bones to a dog, you know. Just standing up there in the sky throwing out a bone. Please, Lord, give me a bone. I got tired of that fella. And most of the bones he threw out, all the meat was gone off of it before. I said, keep your damn bones. I'm going to serve this fellow where I can say my cup runneth over. And I've told you this before, and I watch people get shocked every time I say it, and I'm going to shock you again. Everybody does not serve the same God. As a matter of fact, each person serves his own individual idea of God. Yes, I agree. There is one God, really consciousness. But then there is consciousness on the individual level. And each person has his own individual concept of God. And this is what each person relates to, his own individual concept of God. This is why some people can have a stingy God and somebody else can have a generous God. Some people have a mean God. I remember that Sunday school God. Now, he was a bad motorcycle. You know, he sat up in heaven with his feet propped up on the world. And he had a book in one hand writing down my sins and a stick in the other hand that would knock the hell out of me with. He was mean. And if I didn't sin on my own, he'd send the devil along to make me sin, you see, and then whip me for it. I said, what kind of double clutching is this? So you measure out the goodness of God in your own life by your faith, by your acceptance, by your vision, by your feelings. And you strike oil when you recognize the unlimited, overflowing source and supply of God within you. You can have just as many riches as you can have ideas. You can have just as much success as you will have success ideas in your mind. Now, here's a mind power prayer that I want to go through with you very briefly. And let us read the first paragraph together. God in me is my overflowing supply of all good. I thank and praise God in me for my overflowing source of health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity. I want you to notice the sentence of thanksgiving in this affirmation. And I like to say this about thanksgiving. When you give thanks, that seals the deal between you and God. That's worth writing down. When you give thanks, that seals the deal between you and God. I'll give you an example of that, and it happened in a rather hilarious way. At our office building in New York City, when I drive one of the cars, I like to take the car down to the garage and give it to the parking attendant myself. And I usually give whoever takes the car a tip. It's usually a dollar bill. This particular time, I reached my hand into my pocket very quickly and handed a bill to the attendant. And as the bill left my hand and went into his hand, I saw that instead of it being a one, it was a five. And the gentleman saw the five at the same time that I saw it. And he said, "Oh, thank you, sir." What did that do? Seal the deal. And there was only one reason why I didn't tell him, "Look, that's the wrong bill." Why? Because he said what? "Thank you." And I dare say to you, you can play the same trick with the infinite. This is why I constantly tell people to say, "Thank you, God in me. Thank you, Father." So when you pray your prayers, when you make your affirmations, when you visualize, give thanks. "Thank you, God in me." Can I hear you shout loudly here today? "Thank you, God in me." Stand up and say it and sit back down. Come on. If I was God in you, I wouldn't give you a damn thing. Stand up and say it like you mean it. That's wonderful. You start trying that. Now let's apply these principles to eternal health. And read this paragraph with me together, everybody. God in me is my eternal source of health. From deep within the source of God in me, I receive an instant, constant supply of health and strength, vim and vigor. God in me is my eternal health. Age does not lessen the health and strength that God is in me. Knowing God as my health heals and keeps me well and heals others through me. Let's give the treatment now for overflowing happiness together. God in me is my eternal source of happiness. From deep within the source of God in me, I draw overflowing happiness. This happiness flows out from me every day, in every way, and I share it with others. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I make the world a happier place with my overflowing happiness. Now let's give this treatment for overflowing love together. God in me is love. The love of God thinks and acts through me. I wish and think only good for myself, everyone and everything. The love of God pours itself out from me to everyone. I love because I am love. As I permit the love of God to operate in me, this brings me together with all of the right people for every right purpose and keeps me in right relationships with everyone.
My light is overflowing with love in every right relationship. My whole experience of life is a great romance. You've heard me talk about the idea of living romantically several times before. And life should be a great romance. And you'll find that success in life really depends upon how romantic a person is. The salesman that you buy from is romantic. That's why you buy from him. It's not his product so much, it's the way that he presents himself and his product. And you should view life and approach life as a great romance. Let us give this treatment now for overflowing success and prosperity. Together, God in me is my overflowing source of success and prosperity. The mind, intelligence, and wisdom of God in me lead me into ways and means of success and prosperity. I cannot fail. I see and feel success. I see and feel new prosperity. I am always becoming greater and richer in God in every way. In God, I am a success. We're going to do the one now for unlimited money. And those of you who don't feel that that's for you, you fold up the paper and ease on down the road before we do this. Unlimited money. Together, the power of God in me is my power to get all the good that I desire. There is no limit to this getting power of God in me. By means of the getting power of God in me, I get all of the good that I desire. I see myself with an overflowing supply of money to use and enjoy. Thank you, God in me, for this overflowing supply of money and all good. I want to do a visualization prayer treatment with you. This was affirmation, you see. We're going to do visualization together for health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity. All right, let's get comfortable now and get ready for the visualization prayer treatment. Get as comfortable as you can. Stretch your legs out if you wish to. One of the things that I'm going to program you for in this is to enjoy money more than you ever have this year. See, some of you have got it already. You just need to enjoy it. That's another thing that increases money in your life, you know, if you enjoy it. The enjoyment of money increases money. Get comfortable. Tilt your chin slightly upward. Close your outer eyes. Open your inner eye of faith. Repeat this with me. I now enter the closet of my mind. And I shut the door. I shut out doubt and fear. And I shut in with faith. I enter the theater of my mind, and I look upon the stage of my imagination, and I see myself. I see myself as a beautiful person in God. I see God being beautiful through me. I and my Father are one. I see myself as a healthy person in God. I see myself strong in spirit, mind, and body. God in me is my help from birthday to birthday, no matter what my age is. God in me is my help. Age does not weaken God. Age does not affect God. God in me is my health and strength. From birthday to birthday. Thank you, God in me. Knowing God in me as my help is a healing power unto me and a healing power unto everyone of whom I think, no matter where they may be in this cosmic order. I send forth healing vibrations, and healings are taking place right now. I see it. I feel it. Thank you, God in me, for this eternal help. I see myself as a happy person. I see a smile on my face. Listen. I hear myself laughing. I hear the joy of the Lord bubbling over out of my being. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, God, in me for this happiness. I share this happiness with everyone. Everywhere I go, even when I'm silent, I'm transmitting the joy of the Lord. Thank you, God, in me for this joy. I see myself as a loving person. I see myself as a person who is loved. I am loving and beloved in divine order. I love because I am loved. The love of God in my heart brings me together and keeps me together in right relationship with all of the right people for every right purpose. Thank you, God, in me for love. I am being right with the God in me. I love this God in me. And as long as I am right with this God in me, I cannot harm anyone, and no one can harm me in any way whatsoever. Thank you, love of God. Thank you, love of God. Thank you, love of God. I see myself as a successful, prosperous person. I walk success. I talk success. I look success. I prosper. I only desire that which is good. Therefore, God blesses my every good desire and makes me successful and prosperous. I desire success and prosperity for everyone else. I love to see success and prosperity. I love to see other people succeed and prosper. I bless success and prosperity wherever I see it. Whenever I see other people successful and prosperous, I say within myself, God bless you. That's me. That's me. Now I see myself with a whole lot of money. I see myself enjoying money more than I've ever enjoyed money in my life. I see myself with a free and easy relationship with money. I see money pouring in. Pouring in. I feel it in my hands. I see it on my checkbook. I see it in my bank account. I see it hidden all around my house. I see my pockets bulging with money. I see myself traveling with money. I see myself going on shopping sprees. Enjoying money. Buying what I want. Thank you, God, in me. For money. I'm excited about the way I'm enjoying money. Money is my servant. I do not serve money. I think right about money. I do right with money. I give right with money. And because I do right with money, more and more money, more and more money, more and more money keeps pouring in. More and more money. More and more money. More and more money. More and more money. More and more and more and more and more money keeps pouring in. I see myself with savings certificates, interest-bearing investments, money-making money, 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 money-making money. Money, money, money making 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 money. Money making money. Money, money, money making money. Money making money. Money, money, money. Money making 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 money. Thank you, God, in me. For money. Open your eyes slowly. I suggest that you do this visualization, particularly before going to sleep at night. I tell you this every time, and it's worth repeating. Because whatever you program your mind for in visualization, while you are asleep, your word goes forth throughout the cosmos and connects you with all of the right people and all of the right processes to bring you the good which you have programmed for in ways that you know not of. Let's stand. Until next Sunday, the presence, the power, the love, the joy, the health, the happiness, the success, the prosperity, all of the good that God is, go with you, above you and beneath you, beside you, around you, behind you,
within you and before you and make smooth, beautiful, perfect your way.
Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why.